Dwayne, it's good to be back.
Yes, it is.
It's only been 7 days. We're getting in the swing here.
Yep, getting back into the groove of things.
Yes. How was your how's your day so far today?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I think we're coming up maybe on this is a long weekend.
Yes.
At least for me. So looking forward to it. A couple of days off and just refreshing and catching up on some things.
I was ready for a couple of days. I'm excited for that. So before we start chatting, good day to everybody that's listening. Thank you for all the supporters and the listeners, and we appreciate it. And we are excited and ecstatic that this thing keeps kind of trickling and growing. And I can't even explain it. But here we go.
Lots of people. You know, seems like daily are contributing or sending an email or just showing their support in, you know, various ways. And we certainly appreciate that. So continue to do so.
Couple handful of Twitter followers increased the last week. I think it's at like 555.
Yeah.
Now, it just keeps slowly grows. And so I'm always kind of curious to see where that goes from when we get kind of kicked off again.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
See if we can.
We've got a slow growth each year. So we'll see where that goes. But anyways.
Slow growth.
And that's just kind of to share information. It's good that the more people that are there, the more people that are in email exchange.
Yeah.
As far as our email subscribers, it's just about sharing information. Because like the logo or the, what's our tagline? We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's our tagline.
Right.
So
thank you to the patrons.
Yep.
Much appreciated. Before we move on to anything else, let's just quick, you know, we talked about the weekend, but past week, anything interesting? Ho-hum, what?
Ho-hum, so pretty much. Not much going on.
Right.
So, you know, season's over, so kind of, it's kind of that lull, but before we get in high gear again, so.
Calm before the storm.
There you go. There you go. So, how about you? Any big revelation?
No. Just trying to find time.
Gotcha.
It's just like broken record.
I am reading a new book.
Oh yeah, so what is it? Maybe. What you got?
It's called Indistractable.
Okay.
I don't read like a lot of novels or or fiction. I generally read nonfiction, but this is called Indistractable. A book about to prevent being distracted all the time.
Okay.
You know, we're in a highly distraction-filled world, and I'm trying to at least learn some techniques to try to prevent that. So
you know, it's funny you say that because when I just said earlier, you know, I'm trying to find time.
Yeah.
You know what? I have a lot of things that I have in my mind that I want to try and do on a daily basis, with this, with my day job, with the other career that I'm trying to kind of get kicked off.
Yeah.
And not only the, but I mean, family. I got a house to, you know, always
maintain,
work on, maintain,
yeah.
all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Dishes to do. You know.
Yep. Yep.
It's like sometimes it's difficult. Some days are difficult to, I like to use the term, compartmentalize when I need to just get done.
Yeah.
And so sounds like a great book that I need to take a look at.
Well, when I'm done with it, I'll
give
the masterclass on it.
There you go. I mean, I'm trying to build these, utilize, you know, calendars and apps and just something to just say, here's what you're doing this next 2 hours. And put everything away. But that's realistically what, you know, lately has been. And so that's what I'm trying to do.
Yeah, okay.
It's just not be distracted as much. But it is very difficult because there are a ton of distractions out there.
Yeah.
Whether it's your telephone, whether it's your the radio, whether it's your job, whatever. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. Name it. So
This book talks about the science of all of that and just ways to do it. So we'll get back to it.
Okay. All right. So how about any emails to read this week?
Don't really have any. We read a few last time. Yeah. The ones we got were inquiries around a couple of things.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the email rules exchange is the hot topic.
Right.
We're hopefully going to be able to, maybe even by the time this comes out, release some information about that. So
just stay patient.
Yes.
How to reach us. A couple,
so
you should say this every time. We're going to try and be better at saying this every time.
Yeah. So if you're listening to the podcast, you know one way to reach us, but I don't know which way that is.
Mm-hmm.
Google Play is one.
Yep.
iTunes is the other.
Yep.
We just got put on Spotify.
Okay.
If you do the Spotify thing.
Uh-huh.
If you want to contact us, email is rule11officials@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or you can go to the website and just enter information into the contact form, and it'll go to that same email address. Also, please subscribe to our email on the website. Just enter your email address, and you'll get all of the emails that we send out,
mm-hmm.
which we don't send out a ton. We don't spam.
We won't spam you.
And then if you happen to be in social media world, we're on Twitter, at Rule 11 Officials.
Yeah.
And so those are all of the...
And so a little segue off of Spotify.
Yeah.
I never used the app, had the app, but then you sent me a link to a new podcast that just came out. That was on Spotify, so I had to download the app to listen to this.
Yeah.
But it's a great app. You want to talk about it real quick?
This
great podcast.
New podcast just came out. First episode was released recently.
Must listen.
It's called Prior to the Snap
mm-hmm.
is the podcast. It's a football-related podcast, but slightly different than what we're doing. We're all about officiating, college football, and all of that,
mm-hmm.
and anything that has to deal with that. That podcast is more kind of human interest stories in the football world. So Mallory Green is the host.
Yep.
And she will interview officials, coaches, anybody,
players,
administrators, anybody involved in football, mm-hmm. the football world.
Yeah.
And I think maybe not just college football, but maybe even NFL. So,
yep.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Check that out.
Check it out.
That one's only on Spotify right now. I'm sure she'll get out there in other places. But the first episode was really good. So, yes.
And I believe she has an Instagram account currently. She said that on the podcast, but don't have that information currently. But once we hear a little bit more about her and her show, we'll promote a little bit.
Do some cross promotion. Yeah.
One other bullet point we wanted to talk about real quick.
Yeah. So recently, we talked about postseason games. I was fortunate to be the alternate on a postseason game down in Frisco, Texas. So you can figure out the game. But the good folks down in Texas and in the Southland Conference took such great care of the crew when we got there. We didn't have to worry about anything. They picked us up from the airport. They took care of the spouses, took us out to dinner. It was just great. So, TASO is the organization down there
mm-hmm.
in Texas. Texas Association of Sports Officials, I think it stands for.
Okay.
They we got to the locker room. We had placards with our name on it. A nice congratulatory letter. It was just kind of first class treatment.
Yeah.
Officials helping officials. And it's something they didn't really have to do. And they've been doing it for years for that game.
Right.
And it just makes the experience that much better. Wow. So thank you. Thanking you publicly.
Yeah.
Also met while we're down there the recipient of our
backpack.
Yeah, TJ Riley.
There you go.
I believe his last name
Small
is.
World.
He was one of the folks that were helping down there. So
nice.
Appreciate his help, cool. And it was great to meet him. So
see,
there you go.
We're all in this to help each other, right?
Yep.
One way or another. That's pretty cool. That's a cool story. I was. It was good to hear when you told me about it the first time. That was pretty cool.
So we have a guest today.
Yes. First guest of 2020.
2020.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you have? Who do we have?
It says this on my page, the CFO, National Director of Instant Replay, Dean Blandino is going to talk with us. We're going to just talk all things replay and a little bit about Dean and some things that he's,
involved.
Working on, involved in and areas like that. So, we look forward to that. And then we've had him on before on another subject we might touch back on, but this is good. We're gonna talk to Dean about Dean and what Dean does. So a little more personable on his story. So
sounds good.
How about a quote?
So this one is from Sir Thomas Fowell Buxton. It says, "With ordinary talent and extraordinary perseverance, all things are attainable." So
sounds like a bright man.
When you get sir on the beginning, the beginning of your name, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, your ear's been touched by a knife or something, and you're well off. So, good one. Yes. Okay, so let's get this thing started. Okay.
Sounds good.
Okay, here we go.
Trying to pick up my defensive anchor. I try to identify quickly in the game who is my biggest threat on defense, which, you know, and if I need to follow him for a play or two just to make sure that he's not being manhandled.
The higher up the level you get, the less you've got to be more on automatic and just, you know, you can't be thinking about these kind of things.
So our umpire's a little crazy.
Anybody can say, well, they're holding me back. They don't like me. They like this person better. No. The point is, you got to take a look in the mirror.
Really good officials from just the average guys, they're the ones that never stop thinking, never stop anticipating this stuff.
So in the situation where it's very crowded in there and I need to be able to see the ball and still give up one of my three keys initially, I'm going to give up the left guard and let the center judge take in.
Okay, Dwayne, let's welcome our first guest of 2020, Dean Blandino, the CFO, National Director of Instant Replay for College Football. Dean, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
great.
We're doing well, yes. Yeah.
Hey, before we get started, I got to ask you something, okay? let's get a little personal first, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Can you please tell me how many pints currently do you have in your freezer of Ben & Jerry's half-baked ice cream?
That's a good question. I've been on the road the last week, so I don't think there's any in my freezer, but usually when I'm home, there's usually one or two sitting
there.
I have to, and I've got my go-to places. And sometimes if they run out of half baked, I panic a little bit and I have to drive around.
Yeah.
Until I find it. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So good. Well, you're on the road, so maybe they got those little half pints in the hotel lobby. I don't know.
Yes, they don't. That's the first thing I check, and they don't. So I've been a little while. I'm going through withdrawal.
Withdrawal.
Right. Yeah. Well, got to get back to LA, I guess. Huh? Okay.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hey, thanks for coming on with us. We're going to talk a little college football replay and other areas around that. But before we start on that, let's can you just give us a quick update? We talked to you last year with a project you were involved with in her turf on that short docuseries. Mm-hmm. What's any new status of that, and how's that coming?
Yeah, it went really great. We went through the whole film festival, made a lot of film festivals, won a lot of awards, and opened up, you know, what we really were hoping is that just opened up a lot of people's eyes as to, you know, that there are female football officials and some of the things that they go through. And it's an opportunity for young women to see female officials in football and potentially pursue their own career. And it's been great. And, you know, we've been, you know, talking to other organizations and just trying to further that message. And right now, you know, kind of the film festival season is over, and then we're looking to maybe expand upon it and create other avenues to get the message out there.
Okay, great. Okay. So I'm assuming film festival seasons are like spring, summertime or something like that?
Yeah. Through, you know, it was my first time, my first experience with it. And it was pretty much through the summer, even into the fall.
Okay.
And it was, we met a lot of great people and made a lot of good connections. And so I think, we'll see what's in store for the future.
Okay. Good to hear. Yeah. Good to hear.
So you have a lot of jobs, right? You obviously, we know you from Fox. You help, you're an executive producer on Her Turf. I don't know what your title is in XFL. Your XFL supervisor of officials.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Okay.
And then, of course, the national replay coordinator. Have you jumped into this role as national replay coordinator already? Has it, as soon as the national championship was over, you kind of, yeah.
Yeah, we, at the national championship, on Sunday before the game, we have a meeting with all the college commissioners.
Yeah.
And that's really the first thing to kind of kick off the off season. And we go through potential rules changes. We get their input, things that they're, we review what happened the previous season, get their thoughts on different issues. And so that was the first opportunity for me to kind of jump into the off season. We had a great meeting with the commissioners and we reviewed, targeting. There was a major change with targeting and how it was looked at in replay. So we went through that, got their thoughts on that. And just this year, with it being, the college rules, it's a 2-year cycle. This is an on year, so they can make changes to other rules besides player safety. So we're kind of getting the ball rolling on the college side now.
Okay. So with some of the communication you had with the schools and the administrators and coordinators with the new officiating of the targeting rule and within the replay.
Yeah.
On an overall look standpoint, how did that work this year? Better, worse? Was there improvements? What was the feedback you heard at the end of the year?
Yeah, the feedback was generally positive. And the goal going in was to not eject players on the kind of the 50-50 plays where there's some gray area, in the past, if the call in the field stood, the player would be ejected, potentially lose. If it was in the second half, they'd lose the first half of the next game. And the goal was, really we had to confirm it for the player to get ejected. And it resulted in less ejections. And so that was the goal. And I think everyone was fairly happy. There's still work to be done and you want to continue to look for greater consistency in both the call on the field and how it's looked at in the replay. But I think generally everybody was happy with the way the rule change worked out.
Good.
So as the national replay coordinator, what are some of your goals? What's kind of your vision for replay?
Yeah. I went through this with the commissioners as well. And we look to, obviously, in the short term, we want to continue to be more consistent in targeting. And obviously that's a big call and it can be controversial and it's a high profile call, but in everything across the board. But I think the biggest thing is really looking at personnel and people and where can we continue to build a pipeline of replay officials that can come in and can work replay. And then we've started, even last year in the off season, doing clinics for people that really thinking outside the box and not necessarily looking for on-field officials that had, were at the end of their careers. We're looking at maybe they're on-field officials that are at lower, maybe Division II, Division III, that are still early in their on-field career, but may want to make the transition to replay because they have the skill set that we're looking for. So I think that's really the goal right now is can we continue to build this pipeline of officials, replay officials, and even look outside the box and look at people that maybe don't have an officiating background, but they're involved in replay and some, maybe they're a technician at one of the schools or in a lesser role, and can we get them more involved in replay and at some point get them to be a replay official. So that's really the focus right now.
Okay.
You talked about some of the clinics. Are these clinics that you've created specifically for replay, or are there additions to existing clinics? Because I know a number of clinics around the country and camps have added a replay component, or is it a combination of those?
Yeah, it's a combination of both. There are camps that are now adding a replay component, whether that's, Tom Beard Camp or Stars and Stripes, all of these different camps that take place that have already been established are now seeing the importance of replay. They're adding a replay element to it. And then others that we've created, we did one in conjunction with the Big Ten and that group. And we brought in about 35, 40 people from around the country and put them through some classroom and also gave them some cognitive testing and just to kind of expose them to replay. And we chose from that group, gave them opportunities to basically sit in a replay booth and observe and get a feel for what happens. And so again, it's a combination of both, and we're looking to do, you know, we're looking to expand upon it this off season.
All right. So when you know, you mentioned a little bit ago, you know, maybe some lower level officials that are, you know, D2, D3 that may look to down the road if they have the proper skill set, you know, the potential. Can you give us some examples of some skill sets that are required to make a replay official efficient and, you know, just top-notch replay official? What does that take?
Yeah, so what we're looking for, and it's interesting because there are some things that an on-field official, characteristics that make an on-field official successful, that will translate into the replay booth. And those are things like the instinct, the football IQ, that just understanding the game and knowing what to look for in certain situations. But there's other things that won't translate. Officials on the field have to make judgments, you know, looking at it once. They have to be quick, decisive. And in replay, you have to be more analytical. And we're looking for someone that can work through an analytical process and not make decisions based on what they think or what they feel, but based on their understanding of the rules and what they actually see. Yeah. And I think that's what we're really looking for, that skill set of someone that can work through that analytical process, someone that can handle multiple inputs, because you have a screen in front of you, you have angles coming in, you have other people in the replay booth that you have to communicate with, you have a referee when there's a review that is also going to be communicating with you, the TV truck. So can you work through that process where there's multiple inputs and you have to be able to kind of manage those? So it's one of those things where there's some things that on-field officials have that we look for, but there's some things that to go from on-field to replay, it's almost like they have to unlearn and they have to go away from what made them successful on the field. And that's why some officials can do it and some others, they struggle and it takes them a little longer.
Yeah, I mean, we talked with Terry Lydon last year, replay official in the Pac-12, and he mentioned that, you know, it was his first year, I think, in the booth coming off the field. And him and his communicator would talk quite often, like, Terry, stop officiating like, you know, you used to. And so it's a good point you brought that back up, that, there are some things you probably have to unlearn. But I liked how you mentioned that, you know, some of the judgment that we work on the field now is more visual and what can I prove?
Yeah.
That type of thing. So that's a good point. Okay.
You kind of talked about this career path. If I was a, let's say, a young official or, you know, maybe not even official yet, how do I guess what's the path to get to the IR1 position? Are there positions before that to work your way up?
Yeah, there are. So there's a couple of positions in the replay booth. And so the group that we work with, when we identify someone that we feel like could transition to replay, we'll either put them in one of the support roles. So there's a communicator or an assistant communicator. Assistant communicator is someone in the booth that is going to watch the field, that is going to let the replay official know what's happening on the field, that's going to keep statistical data, that's going to make sure that we're aware of what the down and distance is, what the yard line is, all of those, the clock. Mm-hmm. And so that's a role that gives somebody, they're not making decisions, but they're in the booth. They can see what happens. They can experience it. And then there's a communicator role, which is kind of the assistant to the replay official. They're helping manage the replays that are coming in, helping the replay official identify the right angles. They're pointing things out. So that's kind of the next step, where now that person, although they're not actually making the decision, they're helping in that they're providing input to the replay official. So those are two of the roles where we can take somebody that's new, that hasn't had a lot of experience in the booth, and can put them typically in the assistant communicator role first, then they can get to a communicator, And then when they've you know, shown that they can handle it, then we would move them to the IR1, the replay official.
Okay. What about the technical aspect? Is there I know each person's probably a little different, right? Everybody's a little more technical savvy than others, but what kind of learning curve is there on the technical side of the equipment that you have to use in the booth as far as the monitors and any type of other video
you're
going to use? You know, is it fairly simple or is it quite extensive?
You know, I wouldn't say it's certainly not simple. I don't think it's overwhelming, but it's definitely something where I've seen replay officials struggle. Sometimes they struggle with just managing the technical aspect of it. And even as things as they've got a jog shuttle wheel that they run their video with. And if you can't manipulate the jog shuttle wheel efficiently, it's going to be, you can look at the play and know you want to get to the end of the play to see whether the receiver caught the ball in bounds. But if you struggle with that wheel and getting the video there, you're wasting time and you're not being efficient. So it's something where, and we give our replay officials reps, we bring the equipment to clinics and different things. So the clinics that we put on, the systems are there and they can practice, because the more comfortable they are with that technical, you know, the system itself, then they don't, you know, it becomes second nature, and then they can just focus on, okay, the rules and what they, you know, is this reviewable? What am I looking for? And then, you know, they're not so much, you know, worried about, you know, how do I actually work this system?
All right.
Yeah. So we talked about the replay booth. I guess I have two questions. One, it's about command centers. And do all the Power 5 conferences have command centers, for one? And then could you talk about the role of command centers in college football?
Yeah, so currently 4 of the 5 use a command center model. And so the only one in 2019 that didn't was the Big Ten. And so the model, the command center, and every conference does it a little bit different, but in essence, they're there to collaborate with the replay official at the stadium and to help that person make a decision. They may point things out if the replay official is not aware of it. And so it's really the replay official by rule makes the final decision, but the command center is there to help the replay official. And what it does is it in theory, what the goal is to create more consistency, because you have one central location with a couple of people who are making sure that decisions that are made in Ohio State are consistent with decisions that are made at Michigan or Illinois, whatever it may be. And I think that's the goal of the command center, and that's how it works. They communicate with the replay official and work in conjunction with the replay official.
Is that kind of under your duties to kind of help standardize command centers as well, as far as,
That's one of the goals. And that's one of the things we talked about with the conference commissioners, is the role of the command center and how the different conferences utilize command centers, because what our goal is at the NCAA, we want to make sure that we're standardizing the process. And we want to make sure we identify the proper protocol, the proper process, and then ensure that everybody's following that protocol, because it doesn't, especially when you get involved in non-conference games, you see in the CFP, you have schools from different conferences playing with another conference involved in the officiating. And so the more we can bring them together and standardize the process, it becomes more seamless, that everybody knows how it works, whether it's the Pac-12 or the Big 12 or the SEC. And then that's really the goal.
Okay, great. Last season was your first season in the chair. And could you talk about some of the successes or wins you had in or instant replay as a whole had in 2019, and some of the challenges?
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of it was going to depend on how the targeting, you know, re-officiating targeting and replay, and how that was going to play out. And I think that, you know, I was happy with how that played out, and we still have work to do. but I think we saw less targeting fouls that we couldn't confirm result in ejections. And I think that's a good thing. We really wanted to make sure that if we were going to throw a player out of a game, we wanted to make sure that we, you know, that it was definitely targeting, and we just weren't sure, and we couldn't overturn the call on the field. So I think from that standpoint, it worked. I think you look at one of the things that I always look at is the delay, you know, the overall delay that is, you know, caused by replay. And that didn't, you know, I think last year, 2018, the delay was 1 minute and 18 seconds. This year it was 1 minute and 19 seconds. So really, we didn't no real change. And that was one of the things, you know, I'd love to even become more efficient and maybe, you know, get that number down a little bit. But, you know, there's so much that goes into replay. I don't know how much we could take off that number. So, again, I think the biggest thing for me, I thought the year went really well, but I think this is, you know, my long term goals are going to be more around the kind of the staff and making sure that every conference has a real sustainable pipeline, you know, a diverse pipeline of candidates for replay. And that's kind of what we're working towards.
I'm glad you brought that up, that the diverse part. You've been a real kind of champion for diversity in our profession. We talked about her turf. You've done the same thing at the NFL level, right, and now also at the XFL level. So there's not so much of a question, but kind of a thank you for that. Yeah. Salute to.
That's a big thing. Yeah. I mean, this is, and you know, officiating, and it's an amazing community, and I've been adopted into this community, and it's some of the best people in the world. But, you know, it hasn't been, you know, in some areas it hasn't been as progressive as maybe it should be. And so we need to, and I think on the replay side, because you don't see it, I mean, we can all see the officials who are working the game on the field. We don't see the replay officials. But when you look at that group, we have some work to do as it pertains to diversity and inclusion. And that's important. It's important not only to me, but the college, the coordinators understand that. And that's something we're going to continue to work toward.
So let's talk about, well, you mentioned, you know, your some long-term goals, and you have a broad picture of what you in your mind's eye of what you where you want to get to. But current state and the future state of IR, what do you see currently, and can you expand a little bit more on some of those long-term goals? I know you touched on a little bit, but I mean, ultimately, over, you know, big broad picture, what are you hoping for?
Yeah, where's this going?
Yeah, I think, you know, I worry sometimes that I don't want to go too far. What happened with the NFL this year with pass interference. And there was a lot of growing pains with that rule. Mm-hmm. And when you start to talk about, you know, making those subjective calls like pass interference and holding and making them reviewable, I don't think that's the right direction we need to go in. I do think that, you know, replay is an aid to officiating to ensure that there isn't a clear and obvious mistake on a significant play in the game. And I think that's where I think we need to focus. And I think, you know, again, short term, it's just making sure that we're being as consistent as possible. And when you look at replay, there's 90% of all replay reviews fall into one of five categories. It's not a big number in terms of the types of things. It's targeting, catch, no catch, your scoring plays, your line the game plays, and then your possession plays, fumble down by rule, that type of thing. So we tend to sometimes as officials and being in the officiating world, we get into these what ifs, and what if this happens and what if that happens, and we spend so much time on a play that may happen once every 4 years. Well, let's focus on what's happening every week, every game, and let's be as consistent as possible on those. We're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes, but we have to be consistent in our decision making and make sure that it has to be clear and obvious if we're going to overturn the call on the field, you know, other than targeting. And I think that in the short term is where, you know, my focus is. And then long term, as we look at technology and how that changes, mm-hmm. And can we, right now, you know, a lot of the conferences are bringing in multiple camera feeds. So they're not just waiting for TV to send the angles. They have access to multiple angles at the end of the play. And I think expanding upon that system is something we need to look at. And then do you, you know, with the way the technology and the communication is, do you think of, you know, we talk about a sky judge concept, and, mm-hmm. and can you have someone in the booth that can provide input to the on-field crew, just like, you know, if there's a call and the line judge makes a call and the field judge comes in and gives the line judge some information, you know, could we go to that with the video official, replay official, mm-hmm. being the one that's providing the input? So I think these are all things that are certainly coming down the line, and it's going to be interesting conversations as we look at them.
Yeah. You know, I caught something throughout that just says how good Dean is and knows his audience, right? So we're talking about some, you know, the elements of replay is really not that large, right? So you can't really, we don't want to make it larger. We can't really shrink it a whole bunch, but we have, you know, touchdown, no touchdown, catch, no catch, fumble, no fumble. And you said down by and then you stop, so down by rule.
Yes.
Right? He knows the room he's in.
I always revert. See, my base is NFL rules.
Yes. Yes.
So that's my default, but right. I always have to. So it's taken me a while, but I have to understand, you know, I have to. So yes, I know who I'm talking to.
That was a good deal. Good deal. Good deal.
So Dean, if I wanted to become an instant replay official, or get started this year, what do? Do I go find one of those camps? Where can I get that?
Yeah. Info? I mean, yeah, it's just, and so what we're going to do is, you know, and obviously I'm contacting me is one way to do it. And then the other way, we're going to put more information up on the Arbiter site, the CFO site. And that's obviously the website that most college officials, if not all, have access to. Mm-hmm. And we'll put some information on there about the camps that are coming up, how to register, how to get involved in those. So that's, you know, again, look for that on the CFO website, and also can reach out to me and I can get the process started as well.
That's very cool.
It's great.
And then within the off season, what's your outlook as far as off season training videos or anything? Do you have any schedule for that? I mean, I know the season just ended, so you probably haven't thought about it. But what's your thoughts on future training videos? Because I mean, you do a great job on. I mean, the CFO as a whole does a great job at those. I think they did a really good job this year with weekly videos. It was really good. I'm just curious if you guys are planning on trying to do the same type of thing. What that looks like for 2020.
Yeah, we're definitely looking to do the same type of thing and do something, you know, rather than put out one gigantic tape with 100 plays, do it more intermittently. And usually we've got the college coordinators, the Division I college coordinator meeting coming up the week before the Super Bowl in Dallas. So I'll go to that meeting. We'll have discussions there and get a sense of where we're going to be with potential rules changes, kind of bounce ideas off of the coordinators. And then at that point, start to put together some of the videos and some of the areas of focus that we want to share with everyone out there. So really that meeting will kind of kickstart where we want to go. And then obviously the rules change process will play out over the next month or two, but we'll start putting videos out and you know, pretty soon after, you know, a couple of weeks, maybe after the Super Bowl, start rolling some stuff out and then, you know, go through the summer until we're, you know, before we know it, it'll be September and we'll be watching college football again.
Right. Right. You mentioned the rules change process. How are you involved in that process?
Yeah. So I'm involved. And anything to do with replay, you know, I can provide input. I have experience, you know, having been with the NFL for a long time and the NFL competition committee. I can provide input. I'll usually provide input on what the NFL rule is. Because a lot of times, as we're talking about a rule potentially changing a rule, I can give input on, okay, well, the NFL rule is this, or they discussed changing this, or it changed, you know, in this year. And that can help further the conversation and just add an additional perspective. And so if it's replay related or my NFL background, that's usually how I provide input during the meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, I noticed in the instant replay casebook and instant replay rules, there was a lot of language cleaned up. Was that a concerted effort last year to kind of make things more consistent in that area?
Yeah, we wanted to go through that, and that's an ongoing process. And that it's funny because we, as replay has grown, that book has grown, and we want to be able, and you guys know there are approved rulings and there are casebook plays, and it's great to have a casebook play that you could point to and say, okay, in this situation, here's how we handle it because here's the casebook play. But, you know, we want to avoid having 800 casebook plays that you have to, right. It takes you a year and a half to sift through and figure out. So it wasn't a concerted effort. We're going to continue to do that and clean up some of the language and maybe streamline it a little bit. But again, with rules changes and different things that come up, it's really hard to make sure that book doesn't mushroom into something. Yeah. 14,000 pages long, right. but I think right. we've got a pretty good handle on it. We're going to keep working at it.
Right. Okay. So one last thing. Can you tell us a little bit about Good Calls by Dean Blandino? How about you? let's talk about your podcast a little bit. I've listened to it.
It's
a great thing. Let's hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. So that was something, I had some conversations with iHeartRadio and they wanted to do a podcast and talk about officiating. And I did it this season. I really enjoyed it. And we talk about, more NFL stuff, especially during the NFL season. But we hit on some college football and then talk about, had some pretty cool guests on and talk about their experience with football and officiating. And it's just a lot of fun. And then we kind of touch on, there's rules to not just in football or sports, there's rules in life. So we can have a little fun with that. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun. And I really, I really enjoyed doing it this season.
Right. Are you guys finished? Are you going to go through, are you continuing till the Super Bowl is over?
Yeah, we'll keep going. We'll keep going through the Super Bowl. And then as we get into the off season, we'll start doing, we'll maybe branch out a little bit and do some other things, but yeah, we're definitely going to go through at least the Super Bowl.
Okay. So you possibly plan on going beyond and still once a week, Mondays? Does it come out?
Yeah, we started on Mondays, but now we put it out on Tuesdays just in case something happened with Monday Night Football and so we could have it ready.
All right. Nice. Well, hey, Dean, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us a little bit about replay and informing some folks of how to get started and some skill sets and items out there for people to think about if this is an avenue. So we appreciate that.
You got it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Okay. Enjoy your time in Texas.
I will.
Oh, go get some ice cream.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Dean.
All right, guys. Take care.
Well, that was another great interview.
Yeah, good guest to start off guest.
That guy, he is good.
He's
a good talker. He's a good interviewer. You can tell he does it all the time.
Yeah, and top it off, he's down to earth.
Yes.
He's just down to earth.
More than he was. If you're... Go listen to his podcast, and you'll get to know him a little bit. I mean, he's just it's even like he says, there's life rules, and they talk a lot about that. It's great. He's got a comedy background.
Yes, he does.
That was his dream, stand up comedian. I mean,
yep,
it's a pretty cool story from where he started. So it was good. It was fun.
Yeah, great information.
Intelligent, I mean, football IQ, as far as it goes, is the game. I mean, yeah. Like his, I mean, he says it, right? He's never been on the field, but he spent so much time probably behind a monitor watching film.
Yeah.
Years and years and years and years and years. I mean, good stuff.
Yeah. And I appreciate the fact that his push for diversification and inclusion in different areas.
Right, because he hired Sarah Thomas, I think, right?
Yeah, yep.
When he was the director of officials in the NFL, so he broke that wave there.
Yep, and
then, and then involved with her turf, getting that project out.
Mm-hmm.
Just, pretty cool project.
Yeah, more opportunities.
If you haven't heard about it, listen to our show from last
show
year.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll hear some more about that. Gosh, I hope that turns into something like a little mini docu Netflix series. That'd be pretty cool to see something like that. You know, if they could get Netflix involved and you know, bounce around the country and not just the three women that were on there, but
Different sports, things like that. Yeah,
sure.
So
all of
it's a good, cool, very good concept.
Yep. So we thank Dean for spending some time out of his, I'm sure, extremely busy schedule.
Oh yeah,
to take 30 minutes out of his time for that. So.
Yes.
What you got?
What else? I think that's about it.
Yeah.
We'll guess we'll be on to the next one.
Yeah, we're trying to get in a rhythm here, okay?
So
you said what? Knock the dust off or the rust off last week?
Either one. Dust, rust.
It all needs to get knocked off.
Yeah.
Right? So we're knocking it off.
Just keep staying tuned. We'll have more great guests.
Yep.
Throughout this season.
Maybe we'll get in our little phases of this off season and do what we do and hopefully gain some more followers and contributors and let's just Dean talked about all it's wanted to be is consistency. We just want to get more consistent and better and improve and that's all we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So let's do it together.
All right.
All right, Dwayne. Talk to you next week, huh?
All right, sounds good.
See you, bud.